Good morning. Good morning. Now one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Addie. Thank you, the section over here. These gals are going to keep us awake for sure. It was a little too warm in here. I set it 74, so I set it down to 71 to open the doors for a little bit. And so we got a little bit, hopefully a little bit better. And we know in the winter it can be a little bit tough to get that right temperature. Don't want anyone falling asleep on us. I want to just stop and reflect. We've been through a lot over the last few weeks, okay? Think of George Murray, missionary in Romania. He ministers to Ukrainians and things that have gone on there and at camps, hearing great spiritual, or I don't know if I say great, but just maybe incredible is the right word, spiritual progress with his brother, and he's excited to come here and talk to his brother, and he comes, and it's too late. His brother has passed on, but he finds confident encouragement that there was a spiritual change in his brother. And then all around the same time, we hear about Faith, you know, a beautiful new mom and beautiful new baby, and then, you know, being sick, lymphoma, and going through, I think she just finished her first week of chemo, right? And then Nancy's dad. I got a chance to go to the memorial of Nancy's dad as well. And I couldn't get down all his names. This guy had so many names. Dino, Papa, I'm not sure. I couldn't get down all the other ones. But he had an incredible life, hard worker. He lost his wife at a pretty early age. And it seemed like he wasn't receptive to the Lord until the very end. And then just a clear encouragement about him accepting the Lord. And so, given all of that, why does the Lord have us studying the book of Romans? Incredible book, wonderful book, maybe just like a PhD treatise on the gospel. It's been an incredible book. We've been studying it since last January, by the way, right? It's been over a year. Took a break in the summer, but over a year. Why does he have us studying in this wonderful and deep book? We find 16 verses of names of people. Okay? 16 verses, names of people who we've never met. Some of them Paul hasn't even met. Why these verses in this part of the book for us now? You know, I kind of struggled with that. Why? You know, and I was struggling with how do you open up this passage and why does the Lord have us here? I think the bottom line is this. Theology, the study of God, okay? The gospel truths that we pick out in this book, we see in this book, this wonderful explanation of the gospel, including even nations and future events. It's important. But I think there's something more important. And I love the fact that towards the end of this book, and really kind of the third ending, or maybe the second of three endings, we keep doing endings here at the end of the book of Romans, God is showing us truth in theology is important, but the relationships that we have, the relationships that are based on truth, based on the gospel, I would say they're just as important, if not more so. We have these relationships because of this truth, of the truth. So I think it's the perfect ending. And I really, looking at it from that perspective, appreciated what God is doing here. I'm putting this list together, and I hope you enjoy going through it as much as I have and studying for it. It's because of their love for Jesus and the relationship they had with the Lord and with Paul that these dear believers are immortalized. You have in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Well, I like this little Hall of Faith that Paul puts in here in Romans 16. These are everyday believers. We're going to see how they serve the Lord by serving one another. And I think you're going to be challenged by their example. So going forward from here, we're going to read Romans 16, verses 1 through 16. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For she indeed has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life. to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apollos, approved in Christ. Greet those who are the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Phlegon, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. So I'd like to put a little bit more of a current slant on our reviewing of these names. I have a few just PowerPoint slides to kind of give us a visual of who these folks might have looked like. I mean, the first one is named Phoebe, right? And so, let's see if this is working. Most important thing in the end is relationships. Romans 16, 1 through 16. That's the title of the message. And this first person we're looking at is named, so I could have been showing you the text there. Sorry about that. Phoebe. Right? Well, it's probably a good chance that the Phoebe here didn't look like our Phoebe. Right? She's sitting back there totally embarrassed. But who do we have here? Well, we have maybe someone else look a little bit more like that. And sorry, I'm going to be embarrassing all of y'all, not all of you guys, but certain ones of you as we go along. But what am I doing this for? There are people just like us. Right? And some of these you'll see corollaries and right into them. They're kind of almost random pictures. But there are people, they're saints just like us. Right? And this Phoebe, who did we have? We had a dear sister, and she's called a servant. And really, the word there is deaconess. Okay? Now, it's not like it's a position in the church. It's just the same concept. Jesus was a servant, deacon of people. Okay? So it's not the same position as you have in church positions. But what is it talking about? It means she served. She served the believers there. Okay? She was a servant there at the church in Caesarea, which is very close to Corinth, by the way, where Paul wrote this letter. And it seems like she wasn't your typical believer either. In verse 2, Paul uses a special word to describe who she is as a helper. In the first century, that word helper could be translated, and it's the only time it's used in all of the New Testament, it could be translated a protectress or patroness. Okay? This was the kind of word that was used in certain, I think it was in Athens, where they would have a position where that lady, she would go out and protect the rights of aliens who are visiting that city, okay? But the way Paul describes her, it seems like she was a patroness. It might have meant that she had quite a bit of influence, maybe wealth, and she had the ability to help, as Paul says, not just me, but many others as well. And so you see that it's important to keep an eye on where the help comes from, because you never know. Sometimes, not very often, as I could see from this crowd, you get very rarely a wealthy or influential person can't be saved. Okay? Paul says, not many noble. Okay? One English lady of nobility, when she was asked how she got saved, she said, I was saved by the letter M. You're saved by the letter M. What does that mean? I was saved by the letter many. Paul didn't say not any noble. can be saved. He said, not many. Okay? So I think Phoebe might have been someone of some means. She's the one who brought this letter from Corinth to Rome. Okay? This is the word of God she's gotten her hands on, right? So I think she had the wealth, the influence, and the ability to make this a secure delivery. And what's Paul doing here in these first two verses? He's commending her. Okay, and this concept of a letter of commendation is very important, especially back then. You had enemies of Christ. You could have people trying to infiltrate the church as spies who were enemies of the church. You remember even when Saul of Tarsus got saved? Remember what happened when he tried to show up in Jerusalem? No, we're not letting that guy in. This guy used to hunt us down and persecute us and torture us. We're not letting him in. Anyone remember who went and got him and said, no, he's different? Who was that? Barnabas, that's right, the son of encouragement. He was that commendation letter for Saul, now Paul, bringing him and saying he's okay. This is a good guy. And we still do this to this day. If you're going to visit somewhere and you want a letter of commendation saying you're in good fellowship here, the elders here, we put together a letter saying, yep, these are dear believers. They're in good fellowship with here. Receive them in the Lord. Okay? And so we still do that to this day. It's not as maybe critical in this culture. Some cultures it is still critical. And we're happy to write those letters of commendation. He says, receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. Right? If most of the saints are used to being like us, and that kind of, you might say, influential or hoity-toity or whatever, they'd say, she's a believer? And he's like, yeah, she's a believer. And help her in any way that you can because she's effective in helping other people. She's helped me and other people as well. So, and sometimes, every once in a while, God will give you somebody you can help who you think, why would they need my help? They have all these resources. But if you can help that person, do it. Okay, it's a very special opportunity that God's given to help someone who normally doesn't need much help. She's actually carrying her own letter of commendation. He doesn't talk about her being wealthy, probably because she's carrying her own letter. It would be fairly embarrassing to talk about her abilities and wealth. But she's a helper to be helped. Going on to verses 3 through 5, we're talking about Priscilla and Aquila here. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow co-workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles likewise greet the church that is in their house. So that the first two verses are basically the commendation letter for Phoebe as she's taking that from Corinth to Rome and she's bringing the letter, and he's saying, yeah, she's good to go. She should be accepted and helped. And who knows, maybe Paul, as we saw from George last week, he wants to springboard from Rome to where? Spain, right? And who knows, maybe she's going to help him that. Maybe she's either capable, influential, wealthy, whatever, okay? But Paul's thinking strategically here. And then we have these dear believers here, Priscilla and Aquila. Let's see, Priscilla and Aquila, I'm sure they look something like this. We don't have time to talk about all the highlights of Priscilla and Aquila, okay? Because they were just absolutely incredible. But just give them the highlights. First, they met Paul in Corinth, okay, when they were kicked out of Italy. Caesar wanted all the Jews out of Rome, so they met Paul in Corinth. They travel with Paul to Ephesus, and they stay there even after Paul leaves. While they're there, Apollos comes into town. He only knows the baptism of John, and he's doing a great job talking about the baptism of John. They're like, hey, Apollos, let us tell you about someone named Jesus, right? Explaining the way of the truth more clearly to him. They're in Ephesus. Okay, so they straighten him out. While they're there, their church is meeting at their house while they're in Ephesus, because that's where Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. It's from Ephesus. Then we see later here, the church is meeting at their house in Rome, okay, because they moved back to Rome. And then later on, at the end of his life, Paul mentions Priscilla and Aquila again, and they're back in Ephesus where he's writing Timothy. So what do you learn about this dear couple living for Christ? Paul describes them as what? Fellow workers. These folks were on the move. They did the same job as he did, tent making, but they were almost as itinerant as he was. And did you notice wherever they went, what did they do at their home? They opened it wide open. The church was at their place. At their place. And if any of you have ever done that, I mean, we know how we mess up the John Legata's house every Friday night, how we turn it upside down, right? They're rearranging furniture. Imagine church like this, right? And that was wherever they went, their house was wide open to the believers. And he says they were a blessing to all the Gentile churches. No, this is a Jewish couple who got kicked out of Rome for being Jewish, but obviously there's no racial boundaries with them at all. I love the fact that every once in a while, you'll hear a phrase that we use today, and we think we made it up, and you actually find it was in the Bible 2,000 years ago. You see that? What were Priscilla and Aquila willing to do? Risk their own necks. Their neck was on the line, right? So they not only traveled, Paul ministered, it got pretty sketchy, right? And they were willing to do that. That's just some of the unsung heroes you find in the New Testament in Aquila and Priscilla. Oh, and by the way, depending what version you read, it'll say Priscilla and Aquila, or it seems like she really held her own. She was really a great, not that I'm real big on the whole egalitarian thing, but it seems like she really held her own. She was really a great input. And you'll see this whole list is filled with both women and men, because men might have the responsibility for leadership, but women have had a huge, huge impact in the gospel, especially as it launched in the first century. All right, so I got a picture of this verse 5, the end of verse 5b, Epaphroditus. I think he looks pretty much like this. Who is he? He's one of the first believers from the region where Paul is writing. He's writing from Corinth, which is in Achaia, and he's writing to Rome. Okay, but a guy left Achaia and he went to Rome. Right? But he says, this is one of the first believers who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. I'm just going to tell you, and we're going to do applications as we go along. There is nothing more encouraging than when you see that believer still following Christ after decades. Especially when you go back and visit, right? I met Frank Ta, I don't remember how many decades ago. And most people don't forget who Frank is, right? But more importantly, not only a distinctive look, his love for the Lord, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit, his growth in the Lord, watching him grow just since being with him closely those last 4 years, been exciting, been exciting. There's something to say about longevity in the work of the Lord and seeing believers going on for Christ. John said it like this in one of his smaller epistles. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walking in truth. When you lead someone to the Lord and you check back, maybe God's will is taking you away, maybe you had to be apart and you come back. It wasn't you. You didn't save them. The Lord saved them and the Lord caused them to grow. And this is Epaphroditus, one of the first fruits there in Achaia, and he's in Rome and he's doing well. And Paul says, hey, we're done with the commendations. These are shout-outs, right? Greet them. Say hi to them for me, would you? He's still in Rome, but he's now in Rome, but he's still dear to Paul's heart. Okay, moving on from here, verse 6. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. And I'm pretty sure that's what Mary looked like, or at least a close relation, right? And she was also a traveling worker for Jesus. Did you notice what he said? Who labored much for us. Paul's in Corinth. Okay? Mary's in Rome. Right? But again, you have all these dear believers, and wherever they're at, they're serving the Lord. And they're ready to go. She worked hard. That word there that talks about labored, it means you worked so hard you were making yourself tired. Okay? Some of us know what that's like, especially around VBS, right? And some other times. But I want to just challenge ourselves real quick. As we read through this list, ask yourself, what kind of worker for Christ are you? Are you a hard worker or hardly working? Right? Do you find the needs of the chapel something you want to minimize so you can get back to the rest of your needs? Or do you find your life in serving the Lord and serving his people? And you don't mind working so hard at it, you get tired. Because that's what this word means. These folks labored and they got tired serving the believers. Do you dish out hard work by putting in your own hard effort? Or do you delegate to others? Mary and others on this list were not minimizers. They weren't delegators. They worked hard to the point of getting tired and serving the Lord by serving his people. All right, we got some other people in Rome. I'm pretty sure they look like this in verse 7. That's Andronicus and Junia. So don't check me on the gender specifics there, Kirk. Junia just sounded like a good name. And Paul says what? Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. That idea of countrymen is they were at least Jewish. They might even be in a closer relative to Paul. Who knows, like a cousin or something, but they're at least Jewish is what he's calling out there. So these are other Jewish believers. And what were they? Well, to use an expression, they were cellies. You know what a cellie is? Sounds like they shared a cell, a prison cell, with Paul. Okay? He said they were fellow prisoners. These guys, they went to jail for Christ. Being crazy for Jesus might give you a rap sheet and the government, and don't think this is too far from the future. You saw how the government's been training over the last 15 to 20 years. This could happen a lot sooner than we realize. Okay? You might get a rap sheet from the government for being zealous for Jesus. But you know what Paul says here? You're a note among the apostles. God's people. Especially the leaders who also suffer. They note, you went to jail for Christ. And that means a lot. Paul's also not hesitant to call out the fact that they've been saved longer than he was. And I, for the life of me, it's like, why does he mention that? You've been in Christ. You see what he says there? Who are noted among the apostles who are also in Christ before me. I don't know. Maybe when they saw Paul last, they called Paul a youngster. You know? Come on, youngster. You know? I don't think Paul, he's not too proud to remember. These guys were in Christ before me. You know what gets me when people say, oh, yeah, you've known the Lord for how long? 36 years? You go, oh, man, I've known the Lord for 36 years. You know? Am I as mature as I should be? Right? Paul could say, you've been in Christ before me. How's it going? Now, they don't have to measure themselves to Paul, but they got to measure themselves to Christ and what he wants to do in their life. Right? They seem like good brothers, and he doesn't mind reminding them that he knows that they've been in the Lord longer than he has. Okay, greet verses 8 through 11. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Who is, let me just read all of 8 through 11. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are the household, Aristobulus. And greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. So let's take the first couple. Amplius and Stachys are just especially beloved by Paul. I'm pretty sure they looked exactly like these two guys. I think, you know, I think we talked about this, I think, in the Peacemaker class. You know, it's okay to have certain believers who just, they just mean a lot to you, who you really appreciate. Does Jesus love everyone? He does. Did he have 12 disciples? He did. Of those 12 disciples, did he have three that were even closer with him? He did, right? And so sometimes you have those. You're not being exclusionary of everybody else. You're just being particular, appreciative. And that's what you see Paul calling out for these two, Amplius and Stachys. I'm pretty sure look just like those guys. Especially in Rome and in Greece, right? Were you there? Neither was I. Who else does he call out here? He calls out Urbanus. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was that guy right there. Who is Urbanus? He's like Mary. He's recognized as a hard worker. He's working hard for the Lord, getting tired in the things of God. Okay? And who else? Who do we have here? Apelles. Is Apelles here? Oh, good. I can talk about him now. Good. Call him out. Who is Apelles? How is he described? Approved. Approved. That's no simple word. What does it mean to be approved? It means to be approved because you've been tried. All right? You went through a trial. You went through hard times. And you came out the other side like gold. Right? Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. See, Satan goes about like a roaring lion. If you don't think Satan's alive and real today and wants to tear all of us up, you're living in a dream world. He wants to tear all of us up. Who went through that trial. Faith is going through cancer. Loved ones are reeling around her. You know, Christie's still in India, coming back, struggling with things, right? Many of us have different things going on, right? Apelles went through something, and what happened? Came out the other side, still trusting Jesus, still following Jesus. Remember John 6, when Jesus said some hard things, and people just started wandering away. Hard things sift through us, right? He told Peter, I prayed for you, and earlier in John 6, he turns to the 12, so you also going to go away? What do they say? Where are we going to go, Lord? You got the words of eternal life. You're it. There's no plan B. And when he's yours and you have true faith, that's where you come out approved on the other side of the trial. It's not easy, but it's good. Next one here is a guy named Herodian. I'm pretty sure he looked exactly like this. He's another fellow Jew amongst Gentiles. What is he doing? He's having fellowship together as one body of Christ. And he gets a shout out. Hey, don't forget to say hi to Herodian for me, would you? Tell him I said hi. Next is the household of Aristobulus and Narcissus. I'm pretty sure it was big families. That's about the closest I could get. But you know what it probably also included? And kids, don't take this personally. Probably includes slaves. Kids are like, yep, sounds about right. But think about that, because you had slavery there. Slavery is not a new thing. You had slavery in the first century, right? You had Jews who were slaves. You had Gentiles who were slaves. They would be in a house, and some of them would get saved. We see that, right? The book of Philemon. Who got saved there? Onesimus, that's right. Okay? He ran away from his owner, Philemon, heard Paul, got saved. Paul sent him back, which is exactly what you do when you want to make restitution after you get saved. Go back and do the right thing. And says, receive him now as a brother. And I love this. I love the fact that these are households, because whether it's the parents, their children, or even the servants or slaves, you have everything from that to the you know, patroness people of the world, it's all in Christ. They're all in Christ. They all have equal standing at the foot of the cross, equal fellowship with one another, and they're all recognized by the Apostle Paul. Say hi to those folks in those houses for me, would you? This section here, I think verses maybe from 10 on or at least through 12 on, I think these are people less known by Paul directly because he doesn't use the phrase my beloved. Here you see in verse 12, he says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord, not have labored with us or co-workers, but they have labored in the Lord, okay? There's Tryphena and Tryphosa, all right? Now, the reason I did that is, I don't know, but if you saw names like Tryphena and Tryphosa, what are you thinking? Maybe. They gotta be twins, right? I mean, don't you think so? I'm looking at Koshis, you know, I'm looking over there at Sam, looking at the Josephs. Looking at my own kids. It's interesting, though. Their names have to do with being dainty. But how are they described? They labored much in the Lord. Excuse me, who have labored in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. So their names might mean one thing, but it doesn't mean they were ashamed of getting their hands dirty. They worked hard for the Lord. And I thought about this as twins. I'm going to call out to you siblings. No one totally in particular, but you know, you siblings, you got your brothers or and or sisters, and you're pretty good at a couple things with your siblings. What's one of the best things you're good at? Someone said it back there. Say it louder. Fighting. Who said that? I thought it was one of the little kids. Because one of the little kids were all the little kids were thinking it, and the adults usually admit it. Yeah, siblings are good at fighting, right? And usually we're good at fighting each other. Unless someone outside the family gets involved, then you're really good at fighting them, right? You circle the wagons, right? I can just picture Jasper saying, you can't beat up Elijah, that's my job. Get off him, you know? But think about that. Here's a challenge. Can you serve together? Can you come together as siblings and serve the Lord together? I would say there's actually relatively few good examples of that. I'm not talking about an oligarchy where you have all this family situation and it's just weird. I'm talking about people who are sincerely serve with each other as family members, keep each other accountable to the Lord, even challenge each other if you have to in a loving way, but sincerely and effectively serve the Lord as siblings. I want to challenge all you kids here who have siblings, come to know the Lord, pray for your siblings, and then look forward to ministering together. You do that, I'm telling you, the future of grace is one incredible, wonderful future. I see God really using that. God loves seeing brethren dwell in unity, and how much more so if they're actually even related. That would be wonderful. All right, now we have next here in this list is Persis. Pretty sure Persis is, I skipped Persis. My bad. I didn't get a picture of Persis. Oh, I don't know how I did that. Is it there? Am I hiding it? Oh, okay. Where's Bennett? You got off easy, Bennett. You got off easy this time, my friend. Persis is called out as someone Paul had heard about. Let's see. I want to make sure I get this wording exactly correct. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. See, the personal pronouns are gone. But Paul doesn't have to know that you serve with him to know that you're serving. You see, he knows Persis has worked hard. It's someone that Paul's heard about, and he's being appreciated for his hard work in the Lord. He wants Persis to know. Paul wants Persis to know that Paul knows he's working hard. Hey, say hi to him for me, would you? I don't necessarily, I haven't been there. I don't know him, but I know him. I know he's doing a great job. And that would be very encouraging to me to know that a guy like Paul knew I was doing something for Christ. Okay, well, I gave away Rufus and his mom. All right? I'm going to tell a little bit on David. I don't think he's here today, but he spent a better part of a week helping George Murray. I think probably most of all encouraging his buddy Peter. And interesting story about Rufus. That name is mentioned twice in the New Testament. Nowhere? Or maybe three times, actually. No, only twice. His dad's mentioned a couple times. In Mark 15:21, Jesus was bearing his cross. And they stopped a man named Simon of Cyrene from North Africa to bear the cross for Jesus. And Simon had two sons, John and Rufus. So if it's the same Rufus, which I don't have any reason to believe that it's not, this could be the same Rufus whose dad carried the cross for Jesus. What a incredible honor, what an incredible legacy for his dad, right? But do you see the wording that Paul gives Rufus here? Verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. He says, Rufus, your dad was chosen to do that, but you're just as chosen as he is. Jesus loves you just as much. Also special to Paul, I love this. Greet Rufus, chosen Lord, and his mother and mine. What does that mean? She adopted him. She adopted Paul. Does anyone remember what Jesus promised? There's no one who's left father or mother or brother or sisters or lands who will not what? In this life, receive 100-fold with persecutions and eternal life in the life to come. This is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. She had adopted Paul. Rufus' mom was just one of the many fulfillments of that promise. All right, verse 14. Greet Asyncritus. I was trying. Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus, and his sister at Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. What does that sound like to you in those two verses? They're with them, and they're with them. Maybe there were meetings of other churches in Rome. Because the one he's talking about, he's probably talking to the one that's meeting at whose house? Aquila and Priscilla, right? Now he's giving shout-outs to whole different gatherings, it sounds like, possibly other churches. See, when we think of Rome, when we think of church, what are we thinking of? Sistine Chapel, right? Big mega buildings. You know what the church was like in Rome in the first century? It's the John Legata's house. The Cauchy's house, right? Get a place big enough you can put a lot of people in, right? I was going to try to put a picture of Koinonia. I couldn't find it. That's way too many people. Because that's not going to fit in two houses. We call ourselves assemblies. Some of our own like to use the term gatherings. I think these are two gatherings of people, probably in smaller homes and two different houses. Paul is not only recognizing the church that Priscilla and Aquila met at their home, but these other believers and recognizing for the work that they're doing. He's familiar with them. Remember what Paul said? And above all these other things I've been through, what comes upon me daily, my concern for all the churches. How does he know all these names? You know how I learned a lot of your guys' names when I first came here? How do you get to know all these names and you can just rattle them off? You pray for them. Because Ken said you practice seeing them. Once a week is not good enough for me. I'm terrible at that. But when I pray for you during the week, then I start to remember your names. And I think Paul was praying for all these folks. I think his prayer life was incredible. In my mind, no doubt he prays for them and that he has a deep concern for them and includes them in his shout outs here. Verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Paul is done sending them his greetings. And he's done this in a great and holy way. Now he's encouraging them to do the same thing. They did it then with a kiss, right? Was it un beso con la boca? ¿Verdad? Did they do that in Mexico or no? No? What I get in Mexico, I get a handshake and a hug and then another handshake. That's what the people I visit, that's the way they do it. Sometimes you get a kiss in the cheek, right? How it's done physically is not the important part. What's the important part? Do it. Greet one another. And say hi. I appreciated a dear sister, and she kind of apologized the way she said it later on, but I still liked her point. You didn't say hi to me. You know what? I should. We should say hi to one another. You know what? You saying hi to somebody might be the make it or break it for them that day, especially if you can take it that next step and say, how are you doing? And when they say, fine. Oh, by the way, especially for you guys, when they say fine, what does that mean? Nothing's fine. Everything's wrong. They might not want to talk to you about it right then and there, so don't get too pushy. But you can at least say, you sure? You need to talk? Greet each other. Say hi to one another. We do handshakes. Some people are conscious about that. The physical part's not the important part. Say hi to someone. It can make a difference. Why? What's the most important thing about all this, what we're talking about? One day the theology is going away. No one's going to say to his neighbor, know the Lord. Why? One day, everyone's going to know the Lord. But it's the relationships that are the most important. That's what we take with us in eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you. We thank you for your word. It is perfect. We thank you for Paul and just his comprehensive work for you. Everything from just a theological treatises on the gospel that we can base and know what salvation is, to how it should be lead to a changed life for each one of us, how you're working in both Jew and Gentile throughout the ages and in the future to come, how we should live with each other and understanding and not judge one another, and how we should just love one another and greet one another and be friendly and appreciate the work that you're doing through other believers. Lord, yeah, your word is right. God is love. And those who love like you, we've been born of God. Lord, help us to love each other the way we ought to. We thank you for these examples of these dear believers. And Lord, even though I butchered their names this morning, I'm sure looking forward to seeing them face to face. Help us to love each other like they loved. And like, more importantly, like you've loved us. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.